Hey friend, welcome to Rise and Shine with Emily C. I'm your host. This podcast is all about rising from the ashes of your past trauma so that you can step into motherhood with a fierceness and confidence you didn't know was possible and become a generational game changer. I'm so excited that you've decided to include me on your journey. Together, we're going to rise and shine. Let's go. Well, friends, we are here today with a special guest. This episode, we are going to focus on relationship and how sometimes when you are in relationship with someone else, how your relationship with yourself really matters first. And you may be listening to me say that thinking, Emily, no, you're so wrong, but just hear me out, stick around to the end and hear me out. I have Megan Ettinger.
Yep.
Ettinger. She is the host of the No BS Mama podcast, and I am so excited to have her join me today on Rise and Shine with Emily C. Megan, could you just start off letting us know a little bit about your story and how you came to be in this space?
Sure, I'd love to. So as you said, my name is Megan. I am a 35-year-old married to my high school sweetheart. We had our first baby when we were 18, just a couple months after we graduated from high school. And we have had quite a wild ride with many ups and downs. And as you said, we were really not able to make meaningful change or heal our relationship until I healed some things within myself. So happy to share that with you all today.
Awesome. So maybe share a little bit of your background. So what was it like for you growing up? Where did you...
Growing up, I'm the oldest of five. So I'm kind of like mom number two in my house, kind of second in charge. My parents separated when I was 11. So about sixth or seventh grade. My husband has sort of a similar kind of story. His parents divorced around the same time. And we met when we were 16. With the baby and everything, my first reaction to getting pregnant at 17 was, I don't want to marry you. Because I was adamant that I did not want to get married for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to get married just because we were having a baby together. I wanted to really make sure that if and when we did get married, it was because, you know, we were really in love and we really thought that we were good for each other and all of that good stuff. So, there was a lot of, kind of damaging self-talk around relationships, because really neither one of us had that model marriage growing up. Neither one of us had, you know, healthy ways to disagree or, even just communicate in general. You know, a lot of times we have very different communication styles. And so I would take offense to a lot of the things that come out of his mouth because he is very blunt. He just says things how they are. And I'm more of a touchy-feely, like soften that up for me a little bit type of communicator. And so he doesn't hear what I'm trying to say because I'm not being direct with him. And when he communicates something to me, I get my feelings hurt. And so we had to really work on that. But then further down the line, you know, even let me start in the beginning of our marriage. I had you know, a terrible relationship with my body. My body did not look the way that it looked when we were 16, when we got together. I had a baby. I was struggling with some mental health things. I just really was not able to take care of myself and my body. And I thought that I wasn't beautiful. I thought that I wasn't really worthy of his love and attention and affection. And so that led to problems. And then later on down the line, when I was really struggling with my mental health, we actually got to the point that he moved out because I was in such a place of, I don't want to say self-hatred, but in such a place, such a low place in my life where I really didn't love myself, and really felt like I wasn't capable of receiving love from him. And in addition to that, I would kind of project that onto him, and kind of pick fights with him. And it just really wasn't a great space or a healthy space for either one of us or our children. And so we did take a brief separation until I was able to, you know, get some things sorted out on my end. And we did some work individually and together as a couple. And that's how we kind of made our way through that.
So through all of this, I'm sure there are people, there are mamas listening who are thinking, well, yeah, I don't love myself. And maybe they're like, man, so I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I have felt so alone for so long. What are some of the first steps that you took, when you and your husband did, decide to take a breather to allow you time to get yourself in order? Because when you don't love yourself, it's hard to love other people.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the first steps that you took that you found most helpful for you?
Yeah, such a great question. Well, first and foremost, I would say that there are maybe some mamas listening right now who are just now like reflecting, like, do I love myself? What does that even mean to love myself? Mm-hmm. And so if you're in that space right now thinking like, I never even thought of, you know, thinking about it that way, like, do I love myself? I would definitely journal on that. And, you know, if you're questioning whether you do or you don't, you probably don't. So that's just a heads
up. Just be real.
So I would start with that for sure. For me, when he first moved out, it was sort of like a weight was lifted. And so my initial feeling was, this is going to be great. I'm, you know, free of this like chaotic kind of toxic environment. I can move on with my life now. Like, this is what I want. This is the right thing to do. And it was because, you know, all of that tension was no longer in my space where I lived. And I didn't have anyone else to combat with. Right. And at the same time, I was like, okay, we were sharing custody of the kids. He had them 50% of the time. I had them 50% of the time. And so on days that I did not have my kids, I was really intentional about doing something just for me in that time. And I found new hobbies. I found a paddle boarding club where they would rent you a paddle board and you could go out in a group setting. That was something new that I found out that I really enjoyed. And so I started to do these little things, get outside of my comfort zone a little bit, and really pay attention to what I needed in the mm-hmm. moment. And that was when I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? This is not actually what I want. I don't actually want to be single. I don't actually want to be sharing custody of my kids. I do love this man. This is not us. I don't know what's happening right now, but this is not us. And I am clearly in a much darker space than I thought. And I need professional help. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the thing that pushed us apart, because he would say to me, you need help. You need to go back on your medicine. But it would only ever come up in the heat of an argument. And it would come out of frustration. And what he was saying in that moment is, Megan, you need help beyond what I'm able to support you with. Mm-hmm. And medicine I know has worked for you in the past. And so I think you should try that again. But what I heard him saying, because of where I was I can't be with you unless you're going to be a watered down version of yourself. And so of course my response to that was, well, then you can leave. And so the very first thing I did before we even entertained the idea of getting, you know, back together again was I got myself into therapy. And that was the very best thing that I did, hands down, because number one, she was able to guide me through that process of entertaining the medicine idea again, which I did eventually do. But I met with her every single week for probably about 6 months. And then I slowly weaned off of seeing her really at all. Now I just have her kind of on call when I need. But it was almost a year of therapy, you know, biweekly, monthly, and then to the point that it was just, you know, whenever I needed it. And that's even become less and less. But she was able to kind of call me out on my own stuff, you know, letting me know that, you know, there was some self-reflecting that I needed to do. She was able to give me some tools and strategies, some coping mechanisms that I either didn't have or I just wasn't using. And I needed that reminder to use those things like journaling, like getting outside and going for a walk, you know, all of these things. And that was in September of 2020 that I first went into therapy, where I really wasn't taking care of myself at all. And now today in March of 2022, I've gotten to the point that I show myself little acts of love all day long. And it has made such a difference in the way that I feel, the way that I feel about myself, the way I talk about myself, the way I interact with other people. And I made this connection really not that long ago that when I do these tiny little things, and I'm not saying I spend hours a day, because let's be real, I am a mom, these tiny little things throughout my day that show myself that I am worthy of love and I am worthy of, you know, nice things, and I am worthy of attention and care. And it does start with me. And, you know, I can give some examples of some of the things that I do because they are so small, because I think when people hear, you know, oh, self-care, self-love, they think that like you need a babysitter, you need money, you need time. And, you know, those things are great if you can like go out and get your nails done or go away for a weekend or whatever. Not everybody has that luxury or those resources. And so I would say if you do have a support system, definitely lean on them if they're willing and able and capable. But if you don't, find small things and small amounts of time that you can do. So for me, it started with my nighttime routine, actually, because I suffered with very extreme insomnia. I would be up all night long and then exhausted all day from being up all night. And then it would come nighttime and I wouldn't be able to sleep. It was just a vicious spiraling circle. And so I started with giving myself a bedtime and stopped watching TV at night. So my kids are older, they're 17, 13, and 11. And so when they kind of calm down for the night and head up to bed, I go to bed shortly after that. And I really don't watch TV at night, which means I really don't watch TV at all for the most part. But it started with just a strict bedtime, a glass of sleepy time tea, and a meditation app. And that was what got me started. And now I have this whole routine with, you know, the tea, a skincare routine, essential oils, journaling. And it's like a 20 to 30 minute process that I do. But start with just one thing, make that a habit, and then slowly add in other things, build on top.
Yeah. So you've mentioned journaling a few times, and I just want to point out to our listeners that when you're journaling, you need to do it with an open mind. Because when you sit down with your pen and your journal and you start writing, if you are constantly judging yourself for what's coming out and you're censoring what's coming out because, oh gosh, I can't write that, that makes me a terrible person. Mm-hmm. You're not, that's not going to help you heal. That's not going to allow you to get those emotions that you've got bottled up inside of you out. Your emotions are the catalyst for your physical health. Mm-hmm. If you don't let them out in a journal, they're going to come up in some other way, shape, or form. They're going to come out. You get to choose how that is. You get to choose if you're going to let them out in your journal, or if you're going to deal with anxiety and depression, mm-hmm. because you're not living in your true authentic, as your true authentic self that you were created to be. People have spoken terrible lies over you. Who you were spoken to be, whatever your trauma is, whether it's your parents divorced and you had this conflicting, well, I must have done something to destroy their marriage, or somebody abused you or mistreated you in some way. Lost my train of thought.
No, but you're right. Things do come up when you're journaling, and I really love to free write journal. And I know that that intimidates a lot of people. They feel like they don't have anything to write about. They don't know where to start. And Rachel Hollis, if you're familiar with her, she's the one that got me started on journaling. And her recommendation is to just set a timer, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you want. And just write, even if you have nothing, you think you have nothing in your head, write that. I don't know what I'm writing about right now. And then literally just go from there.
It'll start coming out. Mm-hmm. You'll be like, whoa, where did this come from?
Yep.
Another thing, that I wanted to just touch on quickly is boundaries. So often when you have some sort of trauma in your past, be it a separation in your family or abuse, is in my background, boundaries are seen as this evil thing. If you say no, you are a terrible person. Mm-hmm. But boundaries, I think, Megan, you would agree with me, boundaries with yourself and then boundaries in your relationships are key. They are so important for your relationship to be healthy, mm-hmm. and to keep the energy balanced. Because when you get that imbalance of energy, people start to take advantage of each other, and then you become bitter, and then it just dissolves from there.
Yeah. Boundaries, like you said, they're really important, whether they're with, yourself. Like for me, I have to set boundaries on my phone. I literally have my phone turn off all of my apps at my designated bedtime because I do not have the discipline to turn my phone off by myself. And so my phone automatically turns off. And so if I'm on my phone past 10 p.m., it is because I've actively clicked the button that says ignore your time limit for the day. So I have to proactively make that choice, which prompts me to put my phone down. But boundaries with other people are really difficult to implement, especially if you are a people pleaser, like I am, was, used to be, still am. And this was something that I really had to work on in therapy, not necessarily with my husband, but a situation at work, because I'm a chronic people pleaser. I found myself in a situation where I was constantly working outside of my normal working hours to appease someone else's schedule. And it was something I was happy to do in the beginning for the first couple of weeks, but here we were, you know, several months later, and I was still doing this thing and I was miserable about it. And my therapist was like, just tell them that you are no longer available at that time. And I was like,
okay, so bad.
I know. And my company isn't like that. The people that I worked with weren't even, you know, they weren't even nasty people. Like if you set up a boundary, they respect it. But because of who I am, I was afraid to initiate it, especially because I'd already agreed to the situation. And so I put the boundary in place and then I was so anxious about it. Like, So this day and time would come around every week and I would still get anxiety because I wasn't where I was supposed to be, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And you'll feel that way when you first start to introduce boundaries with, you know, whether it's at work, start at work. Maybe it's easier to start at work than it is, you know, with your mother-in-law or with your husband. But yeah, I have boundaries in my house. For example, my bedtime is 10 p.m. and mommy turns into a pumpkin is what we say. And my kids know there's a strict boundary. Do not come into my bedroom after 10 o'clock when my door is closed. Like, unless there's a true emergency, and they're really good about respecting that boundary. A boundary that I introduced with my husband was, you know, I need you to talk to me about my mental health when, if you ever have a concern, never, ever, when we're in an argument. You are not allowed to say anything about my mental health when we are in the heat of some kind of argument. And he's honored that since then. And so these, you know, some of these are little examples. You might have, you know, bigger examples in your life where you're having to say, you know, we're not coming to, you know, so-and-so's birthday party or, you know, whatever, where you feel like you're going to get a lot of, you know, resistance from whoever you're setting up that boundary with. But at the end of the day, boundaries are put into place to protect your peace, and to, you know, protect your family from something. And whether or not other people like that boundary doesn't matter.
It's not about them.
It's not. And you cannot control the way that they react to the boundary. You can't control the way they feel about the boundary. None of what happens on their end is your problem, nor is it your fault. And really, if they react negatively, it's just confirmation that the boundary is the correct thing to do. Right. So, that's boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. So over on my blog, if you head over to my website, withemilyc.ca, and you find your way to the blog, I will put a link to it in the description of this podcast episode. We will have for you over there a few ways that you can show yourself quick self-love, things that you can put sporadically throughout your day. Mm-hmm. And like Megan said, it does not require you to book a spa day and spend hundreds of dollars on fancy spa treatments and get a babysitter and have a 5-star dinner. By all means, if you've got the resources for that, sister, have at her.
Yeah, please do.
But as busy moms, we understand that you don't have time for that every single day. And that that's just the way mom life is. But it is so important for you to show yourself, even if it's 2 or 3 or 5 minutes at a time, that you love yourself. Something that I do with my coaching clients is I get them to do mirror work. Go into your bathroom or into your bedroom, look yourself in the eye and tell yourself, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you that it will be awkward at first. It'll be awkward as all get out and you'll probably laugh at yourself. But if you stand there for as long as you have 2, 3, 4 minutes, and you keep telling yourself that you love yourself, eventually it will sink in. Mm-hmm. And it will fill your cup, especially if you don't have someone in your life saying, hey, I love you. Those words are so short, but they are so important. So important. Do you have any final thoughts that you would like to add, Megan?
Yeah, I would just say that coming from a place that I really didn't know what kind of things I needed or liked or that brought me joy, I had to do a lot of reflecting, experimenting, journaling, to really identify what are those things that I enjoy? What are those things that maybe I don't always enjoy them, but at the end of the day, I'm glad that I did it and it makes me feel good. Things like making sure I have a clean space, things like getting outside and going for a run. Even things as silly as, you know, getting up and getting dressed in what I call real clothes and doing my hair and makeup, you know, at least twice a week. Things like that. And so now, again, it's taken me a couple of years, but I've identified a set of habits that I know serve me well. And part of my journaling practice is at night, I go through and I check off for the day each habit that I did or did not complete for the day. And I know that I'm not going to do all of my habits every single day. And, you know, there was a time in my life that I would have seen like, oh, I only did, you know, 3 of my habits today. Like, I suck at life and, mm-hmm. you know, this is stupid. And why do I even try? And that's not why I track. I track so that I can notice trends. I can see, you know, it's the middle of March and I've only did my, what I call glam day, you know, twice when I should be doing it twice a week. And so now I need to make sure that I'm prioritizing that moving forward. I'm prioritizing getting outside, especially because where I am, the weather's a little bit nicer. The sun is shining. And I only spent 30 minutes outside today when I like to do 60. So it's just, you know, and again, because I do struggle with depression, when you struggle with depression, you stop doing the things that you enjoy. You start to lose interest in these things. And so not only does it help me know what I need to be prioritizing, but also it helps me identify early if I'm starting to struggle with my mental health so that I can make corrections early rather than, you know, the dark place that I found myself in a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So, there was something I was going to say and now I lost it. So, do you have anything you would like to offer, our audience today?
Yeah, that's awesome. I just have a free Facebook community. So if you're on Facebook and you're interested, you can look up the No BS Mama Facebook community and I will be happy to let you in there. It's a small growing community for now. So I'd love to have you as one of our founding members. And if you're on Instagram, you can find me at megan.ettinger. I'd love to have you there too.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Megan, for joining me today. I look forward to chatting with you. I will definitely find you on Instagram and follow you there. Thank you awesome. So much. And we will talk soon. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.